Freunde, bevor wir jetzt hier anfangen, noch mal ganz kurz ein Hinweis in eigener Sache. Wenn ihr in Zukunft plant, euch Tattoo-Equipment zuzulegen, kann ich euch wirklich nur ans Herz legen. Guckt euch vorher einmal eben kurz unsere Webseite an, www.tftn-podcast.com. Da findet ihr unter dem Reiter Deals nämlich richtig viele geile Deals. In den meisten Fällen bekommt ihr 10%, zum Beispiel bei Coal Black Tattoo Supply, bei Cheyenne Professional Tattoo Equipment, bei Killer Ink Supply, bei Chaos Nero und bei Muro Star, just to name a few. Die Liste wird ständig erweitert, deswegen guckt vorher vorbei, www.tftn-podcast.com oder über die Shownotes. Und jetzt wünsche ich euch viel Spaß mit dem Podcast. Bis später.
Things improving or some stuff deproving, like inks, you know, like making that little bullshit about the new inks, and you know, like, why? Yeah. Just leave this old ones. They was good, you know, and why we need to change what is good, you know?
Friends, welcome back. Today's edition of our podcast was created as part of the Gods of Ink Tattoo Convention 2023 in Frankfurt, which we were able to attend with the kind support of our friends from Killer Ink Tattoo Supply. Later in the podcast, we have a little deal for you, but for now, let's jump right into the talk with our guest. Welcome to another episode of the Tales from the Needle podcast. My name is Zeb Fury One. I'm talking to artists from all over the world. And today we have a very, very special guest here. One of my convention buddies. It's Remus Tattoo. What's up?
Hello, guys. All good. Not much wap. Wap. Not much wap. No. Now, the third day on the convention, of course, we are a bit tired, but... all is good.
Was it busy so far?
Yes, yes. I like it. Yesterday was really crowded. So it was good. Good place, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit too tight with the working spaces.
And all. Yeah, I heard it. But I think like it's a bit more worse at the top. And I heard that it's just about German laws, you know, that prevents you from having more space in your booth.
Really?
Yeah.
You cannot have more space because of the law?
Yeah, because of the house, I don't know how to say in English,
tables.
The emergency ways. Yeah, we have rules for this in Germany, man.
Stupid.
Yeah, from time to time it is. Yeah, Germans, I think Chris said that, Mickey said that it was just the German regulations, Germans acting like robots, you know, just following rules.
Too much rules, too much rules. No, but I don't see any point on the making less space. It makes it probably more dangerous, you know?
Yeah, definitely, probably. So for those of you who don't know, can you please introduce yourself to our community, to our listeners?
Again, hello, my name is Remus. I'm artist from Lithuania, worked in Ireland for the last 15 years, back to Lithuania now for the last 3 years, and tattooing 20-something years, if you don't know, I do something to do with realism, black and gray, a little bit of color. Yeah, now just trying to pretty much do only big pieces and where it's never finished once, you know?
Yeah. So I've seen that you brought your customer here. Did you work on him the whole 3 days?
Yes, 2.5. You know, we agree on that, like, so it doesn't torture me, you know,
yeah,
making me work another full day. No, no. I said, you get 2 days or 2.5, no more.
Nothing
but
more.
But he would take it any day. I have it free. Even fucking Sunday when he's supposed to go to church, he would go like, no, please tattoo me.
Please tattoo me. I will do it for you. Oh, man. But he's obviously, what do you do when he's done with the tattoos? You add a second layer to him?
He probably will, because I think he's sick.
otherwise if you have him fully covered.
Yeah, he's planning already to be covered like before end of this year.
Oh, okay.
So, but probably next year we go, I think he will come back for extra layer. If we have plans anyway for some pieces to add extra layer anyway, you know, when we see now all image together, it's more easy to see what we have was a space where it needs extra texture or extra, you know, filling, you know, to do something stylized a bit more. You know. We make something.
Yeah.
Another maybe 20 sessions or something, you know, after.
You're one of the rare artists that I know who are in the game for so long in the business and are still not sick of conventions. What about this?
Yeah, no, you can get tired a little bit of them, but you will miss them. It's like a drugs, you know, like, oops, don't do drugs, guys. But anyway, convention is the same, I believe. It's like you meet all the friends, you know, you made through those years. It's so cool. And have fun, dinners, experiencing. You see new works, you know, new artists sometimes with crazy ideas of, you know, designs and stuff. And it's like you go back home fully charged and inspired again to do better work, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So I need that every couple of months. I must go to convention to reset my brain again to working mode, you know.
How many do you do per year? How many conventions?
Now, probably this year will be maybe just 10, but I had years when I have over 20. You
know, oh,
26,
shit.
I think, was my max. And
that's basically half the year.
Normal year was like 20 conventions, 22, 18, you know.
What was your favorite convention so far? Like, couldn't remember it's like, all of them.
You know, like, got lost. But let's say normally depends on the people who are in the convention. And of course, London was a really cool convention there with that venue. And but there, let's say, it wasn't favorite because everybody was so busy and working.
Mm.
Nobody had time to hang out.
Yeah.
And so I like small conventions, you know,
for
that cozy, friendly feeling, you know, normally. But I don't know. I did lots of them good conventions. And now we're going to make it, no, not me, but I'm helping the guys in Lithuania to make one. And
oh, cool.
Bringing some French artists, you know, there. And in August, end of August, last weekend, will be. It should be nice and cozy one too. You know, it's not too big and with a traditional kind of set. Like, will be handcraft stuff, you know, from like
cool.
Making knives and, you know, all this stuff, and you can buy stuff. You know, it's cool. Like, dance, Viking fights, and yeah, you know, I think this kind of conventions I like. You know, these with the show, you know, of local whatever is like. Or like lost local stuff, you know, like history a little bit, you know, teach, you know, international artists how we've been, you know, or something.
Yeah, that's true. I think like it's even more necessary to make it a bit different than the other conventions used to be before, because I don't know how you see it, but for me, like when I go to regular big conventions, the visitor numbers are decreasing kind of.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Because there was the... Before Corona, it was too many of them. It just like too many. Was getting sick of seeing posts in every little town or village having convention. You know, it's like
definitely
that pretty much destroyed the reputation for all of them. You know, because they become not interesting. People stop going there. I think the regular guys, not tattoo artists, even, but they stop going because they seen. And nothing changed in most of the conventions is the same shit, you know, so...
the same as 20 years
ago. So they have
ago.
No reason to pay the fucking entrance, you know, fee, because they will see nothing, you know, like... Only, like, some guys have chance to maybe book the artist from outside the country, you know.
Yeah.
But that's only a few people will be, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's less and less. But I hope they keep it like Paris and now Frankfurt. I hope they keep the quality so they still attract the people.
Mm. You know?
And rest, we don't need them.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you're very well known in the business also. Like, was it hard for you to establish your name? Was it because of all the traveling you did? Or do you put extra effort in it to get all the connections to go everywhere?
I think first was my homework after work. Because when I tattooed, you know, there was no Facebooks or Instagrams when I started, but I always have my website since, like, I remember from, like, day I started tattooing pretty much, you know, like, 20, few years ago, I had my website, so I keep my pictures and I can show when I was looking, sending emails to the guys, you know, I'm looking for a job, you know, somewhere in England or, you know, whatever I was looking then, and, you know, you couldn't attach pictures to the email because it was like 12 megabytes or something. You can
the
do
server Mark. Was crashing.
Yeah. So, you know, I have to set up websites so I can just send them link and, you know, they can check my work. And so it was working back when I went first year in Ireland. I started doing the proper website with my friend. He's an IT guy, you know.
Yeah, so, also from Lithuania?
Yeah, but he lives in Ireland. He works as an IT, and he helped me to... He built a website, and I was working on adding all the information and pictures on my travel pictures, keywording everything.
Really?
Spending 3 hours every day, you know, pretty much after work doing that
okay.
a year or more.
Yeah.
And it picked up. Like, I have millions of visitors, you know, a year. And at that time, like, they have like 20,000, 40,000 new entries every month.
Wow.
So
that's
there was... Crazy, you know. So when I went first time, let's say international convention, a lot of people knew my work already because they saw all over the Google.
Oh, really?
Anything you put, like Indian tattoo, scorpion tattoo, all those popular things for those days.
Okay.
There will be Remus tattoo, Remus tattoo, like first page, like few pictures, you know, like.
Nice.
That was like.
Like search engine optimization, but.
Because it was nothing paid, wasn't like, was no any bullshit yet, you know, in the system. It was just like any pictures has keyword, they will be there, you know, that's it. You know? And that was big, like for first like few years it was like just growing. I could get money from advertising, you know, but
yeah of course,
but I'm not a business guy, so I don't know how that works, you know.
for a not business guy, you have pretty much any business going on.
Something, but it was good. Yeah, good days for that, you know. People, I went first time to the States and it really surprised me, you know. Guys like Bob Terrell come to the booth and he goes like, "Oh, you're the guy who did this work, man. I love it." And you go like, "Oh shit, you know my work." You know, so it's like exciting things. You know, so. And that's how it pretty much started international, you know, with the website.
Wow.
And lots of homework.
When was it? Like approximately?
You said 17 years ago, I think I started, or maybe 18. First year in Ireland, what, how many? We moved there 2005. So that's, 19 years ago, yeah? So on the second year, I definitely was already doing that. So, 18, 19 years ago.
Okay. How come that you picked Ireland?
Just random, like, not really random. It was a good few friends living there.
Oh, okay.
So we went pretty much to visit them. And the first week I made more money than I normally do, you know, just by visiting, you know, like doing tattoos at, you know, whatever, somewhere in a little room that, you know, like, and went to the studios and asked for a job. And one of the studios offered me a full-time job while I was there for that week visiting. So then we went back home. And after 1 month, you know, we came back and just start living there. That's it. Easy.
Oh, cool. Was it a big transition for you? To come to Dublin when you're originally from Lithuania?
No, I don't mind travel, but I didn't have any English then, you know, like it was like nothing, only from movies and music, you know.
Really? Okay.
So like that was a little bit tricky for the first couple of months, you know, and then, you know, couple nights out with the guys, you know, drinking beer, learn my English perfect. I mean, no, I don't, because you can hear me speaking shitty English even now, you know.
No, I think it's pretty decent.
So like, yeah, I never really learned it, you know, just picked random on the way, you know.
Okay. And then you had your own studio there in Dublin, or you went to this to the shop of your friend where you worked at first?
First, I worked in the shop wherever I got the job, and it was in the city center, but that was only short for like maybe 6 or 5 months. And I got offered to work in another studio where it was much busier, like a street, you know, kind of walk-ins and stuff. There was, at that time was called Wildcat, actually, studio.
Okay.
And then that studio was, for me, brilliant. You know, there was so many walk-ins and it was just like, not doing anything, you know, 7, whatever, 10 tattoos a day, probably, you know, like just wow. Anything they give me, you go, okay, more, you know, excited, money.
So, come on, go get some.
So like, I start doing this, and then while I start doing homework, I start getting requests for more interesting work, for bigger work. So,
yeah.
So I couldn't do much of walk-ins anymore.
Yeah.
So I started pre-booking myself, you know, for 2 weeks, you know, 3 weeks later, for a year or so, you know. So like, then it makes sense for me not to work anymore with them, because we did supplies there, you know, and the company had, we had online supplies. The company had their own supplies. So it was a little bit crossing the paths. They didn't have online stuff, but, you know, they did a shop, retail one. So we said, like, you know, so it doesn't cross the paths. I'm going to open my studio and, you know, do the supplies from there. Yeah, we did that. You know, it was cool. You know, so of course, then when the life become less happy.
Yeah.
Because I have to fucking do even more work. You know?
Yeah, of course. So with big power comes big responsibility.
Wasn't the, let's say, the, it kind of was more fun, but definitely not easier, because you have more responsibility, you have to think about this, and after maybe, 2 years of the supplies, I think I quit supplies, because I go like, I like tattooing more than selling, you know, stuff, so...
Yeah.
And there was my, like I said, international career. Got this, like, nominated best UK artist. You know, that was the guys was doing in years ago. You know, it was like exciting. You know, I go like, nah, I want conventions. I want to do this. So fun stuff. You know, and fuck the supplies. You know, and I left them like to my friend, and then you sold it to another guy. You know, so that was, you know, my story. To start with, you know, in Dublin. And then I just opened my some private studio in the mountains. You know, that was
cool.
Dublin mountains with beautiful view. That was really best decision I did at that time. And it was so nice. And people was like coming there like as a retreat, you know, for them. Like we were looking to the hills, you know, while they're getting tattooed. That was brilliant.
Is this important for you? Like the surrounding of your shop?
Yes. I need a quiet place. I hate big crowded cities, you know, like for work or living. It was like, it would be, you know, just every time I have chance, I would like live always close to the city, you know? So it's like, you want to get out,
best of both worlds.
Yeah,
quiet but central,
but definitely not in city, you know? So I'm just like, I'm still thinking, my studio now is on the old town in Lithuania. It's normally quiet, so that's why it doesn't annoy me. But if I will have chance, I probably just still will do it somewhere outside, you know.
Yeah.
In forest or somewhere, you know, like...
Oh, forest would be perfect. Like this, like here, you know.
On
like
the lakeside in the forest, that would be the perfect conditions for me, you know. Like,
also with glass walls.
Go fishing in the morning before the customer comes. Give me another hour. It's a good day today.
you go fishing on a regular basis?
In Lithuania, now, like, when I have time, of course, you know, but when I'm not at convention or...
So, once a year, probably.
Three times a year.
Okay.
On a regular basis, three times. But if I have time, I would go every weekend, you know, pretty much. I love it.
You do it with boat or from the...
We have a little boat here in Lithuania, so, you know, brother-in-law and we just... another friend, three of us, like, go to some lake, you know, put the boat in... Fish there, and then next time another, you know, lake. A
couple of my friends also go fishing because they say it's kind of relaxing to them.
It's brilliant, total wind in the hair, you know.
Yeah. Is this also you have other stuff that you do for relaxation, for clearing your mind when you have such a stressful life?
Like another stuff, like kite surfing, you know. Water sports, I love that. You know, if I have time and wind is good. Kite surfing for me, swimming in the sea, you know, with the soup. Some water things. I love that mostly. You know.
Do you live close to the sea, or not to the sea, but to a lake, wherever you
have
kite surf?
Sea house, so it's like 300 meters away from the beach. You know, so
perfect.
That's where I spend now all summer. That's it. Like I'm going back after another 5 weeks or something of travel, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's it. Then the sea house, you know, till autumn. You know.
So, perfect.
It's, reason. to have a house on the sea because of kitesurfing. But yeah. last 2 years, I have 10 kitesurfing sessions.
10's not too much.
Not too much at all.
To be honest.
That's why this summer I pretty much didn't take much bookings. Maybe 2 bookings a week and then just free time. You know.
How much in advance are you booked?
I normally do about 6 months, and I like book 3 months, no more, yeah. but sometimes I have to because people are like, come on.
Yeah,
I need because to know. It's bigger projects. I need to know where, and I go like, okay, let's book autumn, you know, like I book something up to November now, because I think November, December, I want to go out.
Yeah, yeah, Christmas Europe. And stuff.
No, just out of the Europe, you
okay.
know, somewhere where it's warm, you know. No, enough of this gray
yeah,
winter, you know.
Definitely. Time. I believe it's probably a bit more excessive, the winter time in Lithuania, than it is in Germany right now. I don't know.
But it's very similar, you know.
Yeah?
I think it's very similar. It may get a couple degrees warmer here than
yeah,
we
probably.
Have there, but otherwise it's very, 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 very the same. You know, like boring, what? Gray wet, you know.
What do you like more, the cold or the warm? Are you more the mountain or more the beach guy?
I'm
good mixture of both, right?
No, I would stay in summer all year long. I don't
yeah.
care about winters that much. You know,
yeah.
I go 1 week skiing, 2 weeks skiing to the Alps or something, and I'm happy. You know,
yeah.
I don't need winter. If it would be possible to choose not to have it, I
yeah.
will not to have it. You know, but definitely then sea, yeah, sea or lakes. I don't care, somewhere where it's nice and warm. And the water around, you know.
I thought so too the first time when I was there, but then I went to the mountains for the first time, and then I was like, probably I'm more the mountain guy. Because
yeah.
I've also been to the Alps, and it was just, the cool thing about the Alps and about hiking and stuff is, you don't have any, your cell phone is basically dead, so there's no way to reach you, it's just you against the mountain, and you look up this fucking big hill, you know, and you say, okay, this is my labor of the day, just
yeah.
to reach the top,
to
and
in.
Then go down the other way.
No, I like hiking like these, you know, like I said, don't do it too often, but
yeah.
Mountains are a beautiful thing, you know, it's like, if I could choose to have mountain house on the beach, you know.
Mountain house on the, yeah, probably, like mountains,
you know,
that will end like in
yeah,
the beach.
Yeah, just like you go down and you're on the beach, that would be perfect.
You ever considered New Zealand?
That's where Brent has, I think, he says like 15 minutes from the beach and he lives in the mountains with the jungle in front of him. I'm going this winter. I'm going there. You know, that's it. Like, this one of my, like I said, it's November or December. Depends when I go for kitesurfing in Brazil for 1 month.
Uh-huh.
And then next one should be between New Zealand and Australia.
Oh, okay.
A couple customers to continue work and then enjoy it.
You Have know. You ever been to New Zealand before?
Yes, yes.
I want to go there so bad, man, since I was in school, but haven't managed to go there before.
It's beautiful. It's like Ireland on steroids, you know?
Okay. Yeah, it looks
like
a bit English, right?
It's,
I shouldn't say English when talking about Ireland.
Sheeps around, you know, it's like very similar in some cases. You go like, ooh, it's like Ireland, exactly. But then it's like, whoa, that, it's much more exotic, you know?
And, yeah, yeah.
And it's mixed. But very nice, really, really nice country. I didn't see that much of it because on only a week. That's
yeah.
why I want to go back for longer and
okay.
explore, drive more, a little bit around, you know.
You've been around the complete world before, yet? Like, have you visited every continent so far?
Continents, probably, you know, I actually never, I never was in Africa, actually, area, you know, any, not even Morocco, yeah, you know, I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So that one missed. The rest, pretty much I done.
What's your favorite place on earth?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, your hometown, but when it comes to traveling?
Like, so far, for like short time, it was Malaysia. Was really amazing for holidays.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like all the snorkeling, you know, jungle walks, it was amazing. A lot of life, animal life and blah, blah, blah. But otherwise, like, if I have to pick today something for 1 month, I go straight to Brazil, you know, like kitesurfing
yeah.
on this like north town, small city, small town in north of Brazil. Always the same conditions for kitesurfing every day, pretty much.
Yeah.
Just super relaxing. Fresh seafood, you know, and cheap seafood.
Perfect, yeah.
Tuna costs less, you know, than dog food, you know, so it's brilliant. And so, yeah, that would be one of my favorite places so far. But yeah, lots of nice places around the world, lots.
How did you manage? Was it hard for you to get this work-life balance established? Because like on usually like tattoo artists, especially when they are beginning their career, they are pretty much into working the whole day, you know, 7 days a week. But then at a certain point, I think in also when you're 10, 12, 13 years, whatever in, then you discover, okay, I can't just keep working like this without getting something for my life, you know? So like it cuts a slice sometimes.
We give the life to work anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
But you know, I never work like 7 days in a week. I always have this kind of 5 days thing, like pretty much, except the convention weeks,
yeah.
And which ones was like if it's 26, so it's like some. You know, so it was lots of weekends actually worked.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You took time afterwards, like free time.
Normally, 1 day before convention, 1 day after.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really off because it's normally.
Traveling,
yeah. So, but yeah, those weeks then would be like those months would be like felt like never stop working 1 day.
Yeah,
because it's like always, all
like
months,
always on the run,
always some bags packing, repacking, you know, and you know, tattooing in between everywhere. You know, it's like I need holidays, you know,
yeah.
And then, you know, go off for a couple of days somewhere and then go back to work.
How hard was it to include also family life into this kind of life, because it's like a bit specific, right?
Yeah, we have years, you know, I didn't have kid for all of those years, you know, so it was easy, you know. Sometimes wife was traveling together, sometimes not.
Cool.
You know, so we had like 10 months where we actually left everything in storage, you know, in Ireland. We stopped renting the apartment, we rent the storage, we put the stuff there for 10 months and we left to travel around the world.
So, oh, cool.
So we did this pretty much around the world thing. I worked there and there, you know, have fun and work again. I pretty much went everywhere and where I still did some work, you know, like I go there, I book myself maybe 2 days, 3 days, and then I have another 3-4 days off, you know, see the place, you know, and then go another country or even like continent and then book again another, you know, a few days, you know, pretty much to pay the local bills, you know, and then travel around and, you know, oh shit, they're money running out, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. On the way from Brazil, I remember, let's stop in Dublin. We needed to stop anyway for something there. And make it 4 week bookings because we need money for Asia.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so come back there, work 7 days maybe, and then fly off again for another 4 months, I think, or 3 months, you know, to Asia side.
Perfect life.
So it was fun. It was really fun. Of course, it was nice to settle down because that settle down was in the mountains in this amazing villa I was talking about before for you, you know, with the studio building, separate building beside the house as a studio, and then we had like all the tennis court and everything there. So like with my apprentice, you know, before work, we played tennis, warm up, shower, work, you know, and the customers, like I said, love to come there because the view.
What was the convincing part about your apprentice that you, is it, what's her or his name?
There was Rob. He's off now tattooing, you know, somewhere. Because it was years ago now, you know.
Okay, so you haven't taken any apprentice after?
I haven't. I have now in Lithuania. Edgar is, he's like, he's now, he still, of course, lots to learn, but he's doing already his thing. He's doing all that modern stuff like dots and triangles.
Yeah, yeah.
Hipster shit. So no, but he's doing really good that stuff, and have a lot of people asking. So that he's happy. I'm happy too. He pays the bills. You know?
Yeah,
I have another couple of guys working. Thomas and Arturo is there. They're good artists, and we all pretty much do the black and gray because in Lithuania, not much color there. You know, so everybody
mostly black and gray.
Okay. Gray and grumpy.
Matches the weather.
It's like, come on, guys, get something smiley there, you know, get something not so muscular, you know, like.
So serious,
Or only like angry animals, you know, and the fucking warriors and all that shit. Oh, get something funny. Nah.
Nah, I don't want to have fun. Something funny. I want it to be in black and gray.
Yeah. And strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Even women, they're like, if you offer them flowers, he goes, oh, no, that's too feminine. Yeah. I mean, it's like, best case scenario, you can do some dark leaves.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, relax. Make it softer. You know?
At least something hard in it, you know, paint the leaves black.
And now, some advertising.
All right, people, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by our friends from Killer Ink Tattoo Supply. And what can I say? This name should definitely ring a bell. If you are in the professional tattoo industry, Killer Ink is the leading supplier of tattoo products. And let me tell you, these guys are the real deal when it comes to professional tattoo equipment. They carry the top brands in the industry like world famous Tattoo Ink, Kurozumi, FK Irons, and many, many more. Yeah, they just have a gigantic selection of tattoo products. I can tell because I'm a client myself. They have everything you need, from needles and ink to machines and power supplies. But just don't take my word for it, folks. You gotta see it to believe it. And here's the best part. When you place your first order on killerink.com, you can use the code TFTN10 to get a 10% discount on your first purchase. That's right, folks. A 10% discount. Isn't that something? If you're not good in listening, you can also check out the show notes where we have written everything down. It's TFTN10, like Tales from the Needle, with a 10 in the back. And you can get a 10% discount at killerink.com. So don't sleep. Save yourself 10% on your first purchase at killerink.com.
Back to the show.
What do you think, like, how do you see the transition of the not ancient, but the old tattooing world to the new tattooing world, where we are dealing like with artificial intelligence stuff, like with social media, where you need to be present and stuff. And because, like you said, that you marketed yourself before with your website, so unfortunately you know about the impact of this effort you're putting it in. How do you think this affected your work when it comes to this?
I don't think it matters for me, at least, you know, maybe for my studio, for another guys, it would be, you know, some difference, you know, because they need more of walk-ins or, you know, more new people. But I don't know. I don't mind. You know, things improving or some stuff deproving, like inks, you know, like making that little bullshit about the new inks and, you know, like, why? Yeah. Just leave this old one. They was good, you know, and why we need to change what is good, you know?
Did it also affect Lithuania?
Yeah, for sure. All Europe. We in Europe, you know?
No.
Fucking Germans. I didn't use- they don't even know where is it, Lithuania.
Litauen.
Yeah, so yeah, all that changes definitely wasn't necessary, and you know, it just makes things a little bit more complicated and more expensive.
Yeah, definitely.
But whatever, we adapt.
But you're happy with your new wings?
They work, you know. They go easy to the skin. It's all good. I'm happy about that. But I don't know about the how long they're gonna keep the sharpness and, you know, the brightness and contrast. That's what we'll see after a couple of years, you know.
Yeah. This is the bad part about the tattooing ink, that you just need a certain amount of years just to make sure that everything is all right.
Yeah, because like now the factory guys, they cannot even promise you anything either, because they're just testing on the go.
It's a life test.
They have this rapid test, you know, whatever thing going on, but that still takes time, you know.
Like, yeah.
So we'll see.
But like back to this marketing stuff, you are also, I've seen it on the factory day the last time, you are also experimenting with this
video,
real stuff, with video stuff.
When I'm in the mood, like, look, this show, I didn't have any videos. I didn't.
But haven't you uploaded yesterday?
I have one short one, like, just like, you know, like, I mean, you can see.
There's transitions in it and stuff.
No,
and I was
no mood in that, you know? So, but no, like, when I'm with my camera, you know, and I'm on it, I love it. I enjoy it, and it's like I can make something cool, but just not enough now, you know, just doing another step, tattooing too many hours, and don't, you know, I don't know. Like, I need my camera back. You know, I do the photography and I do some exhibitions and like being accepted like officially now as an artist in Lithuania. I got my thing, you know, the signed thing.
Yeah.
After 20, few years living from the art, finally I'm artist.
finally officially approved.
Officially, I am. Yeah. So, but that was mainly to do with photography and some paintings. You know, but
was it because of the reference? This is for your tattoos that you started with photographing?
Maybe. I always loved. No, probably if I wouldn't be a tattoo artist, it would be photography, because that was my child. Like, I remember myself, like, you know, falling star, and, you know, like, oh, I want to be a photographer, you know, National Geographic stuff, you know, so I can travel the world. Mm-hmm. And then I found the better job than photography. I traveled the world, and I pick where I want to travel. As a photographer, you cannot pick. They will send you there and there and sit in fucking, you know, in the cold, you know, with the beers, you know. Now I sit in the warm bar with my friends, you know, and drinking beer.
Yeah. Taking photos and stuff.
And taking photos if I want.
Yeah.
So I have my photography, like the exhibition, it was actually called City Faces, I think. Yeah, City Faces. Because I do like street photography, you know, so just random walking around and sniping, you know, some whatever situations.
You've been here around sniping? Because like this would probably fit best.
No. I think in Frankfurt I did have a little bit, but in old times, you know, in another convention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this year, no. No mood, like I said.
Yeah, so for me here, it's actually my very first time in Frankfurt am Main, and this is why I was so impressed, because I'm not used to it in a German city, you know, just to bend my back, my neck over and still see a building, you know, in the sky.
Yeah, the skyscraper.
I'm not used to it.
Yeah, there's some tall buildings, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So, and when was the point when you decided to move back to Lithuania from Dublin? Because, like, honestly, obviously, you are a guy who travels a lot, so why not any other country?
Kid, you know, now we have a little monster there, so we want to have him back in Lithuania to learn Lithuanian ways, pretty much, you know, like the school, you know, we'll see about the school yet, but the kindergarten now is in Lithuania, and pretty much was easy. That thing pushed, you know, the sea house thing pushed a lot about, you know, got us extra excited to move back there. You know, it's like, yeah, we had apartment, but every weekend we go to the sea house, you know, and just, that's really exciting, you know.
So
that was one of the pushes to go back anyway. And I can go back to Ireland anytime I want, you know. We said, like, let's go there, see if we like it, we stay. If we don't like it, we move. Maybe we even move somewhere else just for, you know, to get new experiences.
Yeah.
I'm not the flag man. You know, I don't care about flags. I am world people.
you're a world citizen.
Yeah, world citizen. I don't care. I don't think supposed to be any fucking borders and shit like this, you know. So if we're free, we're free, you know. Yeah. So don't label ourselves to anything there, you know. Just be normal.
This is what stresses me about, like, the modern world, that we are like a globalized world where social media and stuff, we are all one big community, but we are still going back to protectionism by closing up borders and stuff, you know, and it's just ridiculous.
No, it's kind of, funny situation, you know, it's like, but so that's why I said, like, only thing, you know, anywhere I go, I want to speak local language, and that kind of, I'm not too sure if I would go now to a country where I have to learn another language. Getting too old for that shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like Zurich. When I go to Zurich now, I like it. I like that either. So I was thinking, maybe if the shit gets, you know, worse than around the Russia and Ukraine stuff.
Probably China and Taiwan.
Yeah, those things. I don't know. Maybe I would go, like, Zurich or, you know, somewhere like that.
So I also thought we were, for our listeners, we were together last year in Switzerland, in Zurich, and it was also my very first time there, and I thought about, like, probably moving here
shouldn't be bad.
Yeah, shouldn't be bad. Yeah, it was cool. You don't have to learn, like, a new culture. Probably
For you, the language is pretty much the same too.
Nah, the originals, it's like, I don't know how to compare it. It's like probably like German and Dutch, but you don't have a reference for German. So I don't know. Is Lithuanian close to Russian? Probably just No?
No. You...
Oh, I'm so badly educated about your terrible, country, man. I need to visit you. I need to visit
you. So you come for the convention day in August?
Yeah, of
last
course.
Weekend.
I will.
So it's, we have very separate languages. Nothing to do with Lithuanian language is like one of the three or something oldest languages known in the world.
Oh, really?
So I don't know why, what we was there before, you know, like, but yeah, we have some deep history in that language.
Okay.
And it's, pretty much on his own, I think, you know, something only Latvians, but that's like pretty much like separated part of Lithuania, I think. Sorry if Latvians think different. Maybe they think we are separated parts of Latvia. So. But I don't know. It feels like we kind of was one place and then split, you know, in two families or something like that.
When you travel a lot, what's your favorite kind of traveling method? You like ships? You like planes? You drive?
Like I like driving. Really, like I drive here. Like I said, 16 hours.
16 fucking
non-stop, easy. I like that's one of the reasons was to move out from Ireland so I can drive anywhere I want. You know, like I don't buy anything. And you go like I'm going tomorrow there. Yeah, it's easy. In Ireland, you still have to organize the ferry and all that shit. So like driving would be my favorite if I could. I do more of that. But sometimes it just makes no sense to drive to a convention, you know, for 2 days and then go back.
Sometimes it's better because you can take...
Just fly off. And,
way more luggage and also a bed to bring in something like that. But what's your number one tip for a traveling tattoo artist?
Oh, traveling tattoo artist.
I give you an example. Mm-hmm. Chris once told me that you always need to keep like a pair of boxer shorts, pack of socks and whatever in your hand luggage, you know, that you have one wardrobe to change.
just a good one because your big one it gets lost time by time. So like for me, maybe it was only two times out of the hundreds of times flying where I actually got my luggage later, like next day or 2 days later.
Okay, not too bad.
It's okay.
You Mr. Demis, your luggage is in Siberia. And you are? Yeah, I'm in Malaysia.
I think it was on the way to Zurich. It was like somewhere. My luggage would get somewhere and then... It came before I needed to go work. You know, it came right like... right that hour, you know, before my customer came in. You know, it's like... taxi, you know, quick, pick up.
To the customs and then pay back.
So, tips... Be aware of surroundings. That's, don't get robbed by bad people and stuff.
Ever happened to you?
No, because I'm always aware of surroundings. I'm just not sure about my backpack from yesterday, but...
But usually I'm always aware of my surroundings.
Normally it's all good. But that's, probably one other ways, you know. Take your fucking passport when you go to fly somewhere, you know? That's important.
Probably better.
Easy. You ever had any... Headphones, you know, noise cancellation stuff, sleep,
This is also important. Noise cancelling headphones, man, when you're on a plane and be like in a 12, 13-hour flight and there's a screaming baby next to you.
The best thing. And if you complain about screaming babies, complain about you being cheap ass and not buying the noise cancellation headphones.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Leave the babies alone.
Yeah.
So the baby, let them fucking cry.
Yeah, the baby just does baby shit and you don't have taken care of yourself properly.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you like about, like, why is it driving? So what do you like about driving? It's like a meditation?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Listen music, some, like, podcasts or documentaries, you know, whatever, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of like... in my place. Normally I drive alone, so it's like nice, like free mind, you know. It's like and then you want to stop, you stop, you want to continue next day, or you know, like you want to go maybe let's drive to check this place because I've never been. I like that freedom of that, you know, because now you know, have flights organized, so you know you cannot, you know, oversleep, or you cannot do this and cannot do this. You have to be all like, I like have this freedom.
You have a motorcycle license, a driving license for motorcycle?
Yeah. I have. But I just actually left my motorcycle in a garage before I left.
Yeah.
So I came back. It will be ready for summer.
Oh, cool! What kind of motorcycle do you have?
Street Yamaha MT3, you know, so it's a small one. My first one I actually got.
Oh, okay.
For exchange to tattoo, actually. New
really?
One, new one from catalog.
It was you're lucky, man.
Brilliant. But this one, I need to change now to some bit like for older people, you know.
Yeah, when you taught me the model, I was like, for you, I was expecting like a touring machine, you know, something that you can do long travels with, not the racing kind of stuff.
No, this one's not real racing, it's a street one. It's more like a bicycle with the engine, you know. Like, it was good. I was going to work every day to the Dublin city center, you know. Like,
okay.
So that was good, you know, because you skip traffic and stuff. That was good for work. And that time, you know, I used a lot. And then after work, you know, I had, you know, fun drive in the hills, you know, in Dublin, you know, those mountains, whatever you call it. But now, last 2 years, I think I took out maybe 200 kilometers. That's it.
That's 200 kilometers more than I did. So,
yeah. So like, that's why I said, no, this summer I have more days off. You know, I'm tattooing less. So I bring it to the sea house. I leave it there.
Yeah.
And then drive around there, you know, whatever. Hopefully some better summer than last year will be, you know. So.
And when you are in your beach house, is it like that you, like, check serve your not serving yourself, it's the wrong word, like when you catch fish, you also like to cook?
I don't fish at the sea there yet, you know, but it's not really the fishing place there. It's possible, probably. I'm like I said, I didn't really fucking have time to enjoy this that much yet, you know, but I will. I think we're planning to buy the jet ski, you know, with my neighbor there, you know, from the sea house kind of neighbor. And so then maybe, you know, fishing from jet ski, you know, just go, you need to go deeper from the from the coast, and I don't have a boat on the water there, you know. So
okay,
so maybe that jet ski thing will kind of help us to do some fishing on the sea.
That's a plus point for Lithuania, because in Germany you're not allowed to ride jet skis on the lakes or whatever.
Not any lakes, like no.
Not that I knew.
Normally,
not that I knew of.
Normally, they have like depends on the size of the lake.
Yeah, of course.
In Lithuania, we have only a few lakes where you actually can go and do the riding.
Yeah.
And of course, and the sea. You know? So, but yeah, most of them will be forbidden.
You also have speed limits for boats.
They think so. Yeah. I don't know.
I thought it was something.
We don't have the fast boat yet, so it's like even if we try, we never reach the limit.
So for Father's Day, I've been with my friends to a sea, to a lake, and a friend of mine owned a company that sold boats, and so he gave us this little nutshell, you know, but which had, let's say, 120 horsepower. So it was crazy strong for it. And they told me, listen, the police is also on the boat here on this lake, and they're going to catch you if you're speeding. And I was like, okay, really? Dude, it's actually an issue here. So like you have a speed limit also. It's not just on the streets, it's also on the water, and they're going to charge you and fuck you up if they catch you. Germany's different.
Germany is really different from everything. Come on, let people relax.
Yeah. Probably should consider moving to Lithuania. Do you think like Lithuania is like, when it comes to all this organizing stuff, all this, culture, not, but like the state itself, is it like pretty much modern? Because I know that some of the IT specialists are coming from Lithuania. It's a pretty modern digital
way. It is actually very modern. You know, like comparably with many another big countries, it's modern. It's like all new, you know, like we started from zero, you know, like 20 years ago, no, maybe more now, but 30 years ago, you know, pretty much we built it all new. And the internet was like second place in the world after Japan, like the speed of internet, you know, of some years ago. Now we're losing a little bit because of the 5G stuff, but it's really always very, very, very good. Mm. You know, like,
in Germany is always very, very bad. Like yesterday I checked it out in the hotel room and I was like, I'm in the middle of fucking Frankfurt am Main and I don't even have 5G, man. I have 4G and not even like full.
Just dead 4G.
Yeah, dead 4G, like ancient 4G from 1959.
Yeah, no, we good in this, and a lot of IT guys comes from Lithuania, and it's a modern country, really modern now.
Sometimes I wish that Germany was more progressive on stuff like this, but it's just standing in its own way with all the laws and rules and stuff, so you can't just go out of the line because everything
collapsed.
prohibits you from doing so.
We have in Lithuania one biggest problem why it doesn't improve, you know, money-wise, because they don't let any big companies to make a business. They make any international companies wants to go in, they make so complicated, so everybody just skips it, you know, like, they make so complicated, they pushes them out on pretty much purpose or whatever the fucking reason is. They takes too long, all the paperwork and all the bullshit. So they if they change this part, that country would be really, really great. You know, for living, you know, nice. You have summer, you have winter, you have lakes, you have, you know, forests.
That
you know,
would be perfect.
See, you know, it's good. I like it.
But sometimes it's also good for development if you give your people a chance to also develop everything from scratch. You know, yeah, not from scratch, but a bit more without the influence of the already big companies, you know, because...
Yeah, but, you know, the big companies can rebuild the cities, you know, fix some war roads and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they would take any of their jobs because we will not make a tires anyway, you know, like, but if the tire company will come and, you know, get like 3,000 jobs for people, you know, like, why not?
Yeah. So what are your plans for this year? Also, do you go on holidays?
Like I said, the summertime most will be spending just out to sea most of the time. And then hopefully, November, December, go holidays to Brazil, New Zealand, Australia, you know, something like that. So that's hopefully. But then if I get too many plans and I want some new things, like I have already in my head something there going on.
Okay.
I may have to just keep working to make enough money to fill those another plans. You know? So
you like to be more spontaneous in planning your life, let's say. And would it stress you out if you say, okay, I'm booked like 2 years in advance?
Yeah, I had done this like a year advance booking. It's not like stressing me out, it's stressing me of changing the same customer, moving. And it will be always one unlucky one who is like, if something happens and I have to stay extra day or 2 days, there will be one guy which one I have to call and or send an email like, look, we have to move your appointment. And that's going to be like, oh, we did move you already 3 times before, you know? Like,
yeah.
So that, and... when you need to move him somewhere, you have nowhere to move because it's all booked. So then you have to promise some weekend, the one that's supposed to be off, you know. So it gets complicated. That's why when I book far, far away, now for those few months advance, let's say I leave gap.
Like buffering
Monday,
gaps.
Let's say Monday and Friday, I wouldn't book.
Okay.
For long, till I know, like, maybe it gets 2 months before that, they go like, okay, that's it. All my plans is
safe.
Clear.
Yeah.
I'm not flying anywhere in that time. Okay, you can book rest of the days.
Yeah.
You know? Otherwise, I keep them, till I know. Then you can move things around a little bit. If 1 week you need to actually cancel because, oh, you're sick, you know, for 1 week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
you have those gaps to, like, you go, like, two guys... in week before they get even earlier appointment, you know, another two guys you move week after, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's very good way to do it.
Yeah, it's funny.
For me, it works best this way. You know?
This is why I'm asking so many people, because everybody has their own strategy when it comes to these buffering weeks. I know people who plan like a quarterly in advance and also adding like 1 to 2 buffering weeks for this. So if they need to switch appointments for whatever. And like sometimes I was complaining about not being booked out that long in advance, but then I realized that it would match my lifestyle, you know. Like, I also like to do like three months in a row would be perfect. So it's not too long. You don't have to worry about anything, you know, like being booked the whole time and earn enough money. Because like, I think the baddest part is when you have to work from week to week. When you don't know, okay, next week I need to get appointments.
That's stressful.
That's very stressful.
But lucky I don't remember that one anymore. You know, it's like always advanced. Like, I mean, no, you get it. Like, if I get some extra, guess what? Like, well, yeah. Like, next month I want to go do, you know, or because of the convention, I want to stay, you know, let's say in Frankfurt for extra week, you know, because I'm here, I want to book something. So then you stress, you go through the emails, you go like, oh yeah, yeah, let's see all the Frankfurt people or people from Germany, where anybody was asking there, you know, like, let's offer them, you know, those days, you know?
Yeah.
So that's stressful a little bit, like you said, because you're just like only a few weeks left and you have to go or what.
This is why at my shop we are collecting the data of the people, so I know specifically which customer belong to which tattoo artist, so I can just email them all at once and say like, hey, let's say Remus is coming over again, would you like to get tattooed?
So everybody, so you categorize them.
That's
being organized. I'm not that good.
But you know, to be honest, like, you are in the business for like more than 20 years, and unfortunately right now you're just harvesting what you planted years before and put in all the effort, you know. I'm half the time in that you are, and so like, I need to add some specific routines for me just
to be filled.
Because keywording for me doesn't work anymore, sadly.
I know it's a different story now. Like, it kind of, it makes somehow easier, but then at the same time more difficult, because it's much more competition about it, you know, and much more people who knows very good that system, you know. They knows the Instagram perfect, you know, they knows how all the algorithms works and everything. So it's like another game, you know, completely.
You're using Pinterest displaying your work also?
I have set up, you know, I set up every new thing comes out, I set up, I even forget I have some of them, you know, like, I just like, oh yeah, there was one thing coming out, and like, oh yeah, I still have my portfolio there, but they never updated or whatever, you know, like.
I remember, because last time we saw each other in person, I think it was in Zurich, no, it wasn't in Zurich, we met again afterwards, but anyway.
One of the things was in Zurich,
In Zurich, and the funny thing was, we talked about this Midjourney stuff, you know, the artificial intelligence, and like 2 days later, I got an invite from you to your personal server, you know, and be like, okay, Remus is messing around with this stuff.
I'm using, I started a good few pieces with that thing, sorry, but I'm using robot now.
Yeah, but it's also art. I mean, like, to give this prompt to come out the way you want it to be, you need to have like certain...
Best artist now is going to be the best writers. You know, like,
probably, yeah.
You know how to describe things? That's brilliant. You make it such a cool stuff. Like mommy, you showed me some tricks this week.
Yeah?
He's doing really, really nice stuff with that thing.
Okay. Like,
I go back now, you know, like, we have... maybe when I in hotel like next week in Zurich, I wanna try this couple of new things, you know, you showed me. It's really cool. That stuff is good. Like, for realistic artists, we need realistic references. We cannot just like, oh, let me think about, I will draw something so quick, you know, like, you cannot do that. That's why we use pictures, because it's no another way to make realistic tattoo. Of course, everybody goes to Pinterest, and you know, you kind of reuse this picture from every another
iteration, whatever,
or like Zeus statue. There's like only like couple of good pictures references there. So,
and you've seen them.
So you've seen them all from every corner possible, you know, and and you use it like with all different things around it. Or now you don't have to do that. You just do this and that thing, you know. It just makes you a new one, you know, like with amazing lighting and everything. So you're like, oh, cool. But
it's also art, right? It's just development of how art is going.
You do that and nobody else, let's say, will have it. You know? So it's more original. So pretty much first time ever artists, like tattoo, realistic tattoo artists, can have references from for themselves what was pretty much impossible before.
True.
Only
except for that they are photographing their own, but I mean I don't know how many lions, for example, there are in Lithuania and Germany. They are pretty rare and but well demanded, you know, so you need to find a way.
You don't go like don't live in the zoo, you know. Today I need to prepare for all year lion references.
You know, you just like, walk into the cage of
like
the lion.
Cage, like, oh, smile, you know, make a noise.
Yeah. Can you be more angry, please? And then imagine that you have a pretty ugly lion, but this is the most, best you have.
That's what you have in Lithuania, most likely. You know? It's like fucking dirty, dirty, hippie-looking kind of like lion with all the...
Dreadlocks,
yeah. So, yeah, that's would be not option, you know.
Okay, probably not. Good tradition here is that our guest has the last word and can greet anybody, can give his wisdom to our audience and also introduce his Instagram links to our audience. So the stage is yours, Mr. Remis.
Okay, the stage. Instagram, Remis Tattoo. That's it. greetings to everybody who listens, and be strong on what you do, patient, dedicated to what you do, and you get there.
Yeah,
that's wish nice. All the best peace in the world. No fucking third war, we don't need that yet. Later.
Later, when we are done with living. After, when you enjoyed your
after
house.
After another two generations, I want my son to live through the peace. Yeah. So later, I don't care. No, I care. Peace.
Okay, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me here. Like, sorry, not the best talker maybe, but...
It was pretty informative.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you,
guys. Ich hoffe, dass es euch Spaß gemacht hat. Ich hoffe, dass ihr euch gut unterhalten gefühlt habt und ein bisschen was mitnehmen konntet. Wenn ihr Rückfragen zu gewissen Themen habt, was auch immer, lasst es uns gerne wissen. Ansonsten würden wir uns sehr freuen, wenn ihr uns bei den gängigen Streaming-Portalen bewerten würdet. Erzählt auch gerne euren Freunden davon über einen Shoutout auf Instagram und anderen Social-Media-Kanälen. Freuen wir uns natürlich auch immer. Support ist kein Mord. Denkt dran. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder bei Tales from the Needle. Vielen Dank. Ciao.